Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for Restoration Nazarene Church, where we encourage you to be the gospel today so that you can share the gospel tomorrow.
So we're in today is kind of like a special day because the way it lands on the calendar, it's the fourth, it is Christmas Eve, you're right. It's the fourth subject of the Advent, which is love, but it's also Christmas Eve, so it's Christ Day. So somehow I've got to blend love and Christ together for today. I think I can do this. You know, love is one of those interesting things. I've been thinking a lot about love lately. These guys just got married. I'll bet do they do 1 Corinthians in your service? Of course. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. You guys know that. You've all heard it, right? You know that's actually not for married couples, right? I mean, it works wonderfully, you know, but it's not instruction to married couples. It's actually instructions to the church in Corinth, who is a brand new church. It's a booming city. It's the New York of the day. Like, if you can't make it in Corinth, you can't make it anywhere kind of thing. And in Corinth, Paul had started these new churches, and they were just like booming and just exploded. And then they had problems. And then he expresses to them, this is how you're supposed to respond to one another in the church. Be patient. Be kind. Don't be envious. Don't be boastful. You know, and the whole thing is a talking to from Paul saying, hey, listen, this is how we treat one another. Now, love is one of those hard subjects that we want to get right. Most of us have been betrayed at some point by somebody we really care for. Has anybody else, or is it just me? I'm the only one? Oh, no. Okay, good. Nothing hurts worse, does it? Nothing sets you into confusion. Nothing like being the person you love the most who flips or twists on you, and all of a sudden your heart doesn't know what to do, and neither does your brain. What? Right. What? You'll get there, trust me. It won't be good, but I'll be there for you. I will. I'm right next to you, buddy. I give it a good, let's say, 15 years. You know, at the core of love and relationships and working with one another, there's an old song I really enjoyed by Nat King Cole called Nature Boy. Does anybody know what that is? Have I showed my age? Nature Boy is a song by Nat King Cole, and the key line, when he gets right down to the heart, he goes, the greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. And the song speaks to the real truth of love, and the core of love is that all of us have a deep, deep yearning to love and to be loved. And at the core of that, and at the heart of the relationship in love, has to do with, am I heard? Is the true self of who I am heard by the other? You can hear me? You love me? Give it up, but yeah, I love you too. I want to be understood by who loves me. I'm not just understood like I make sense when I talk. Understood in the sense that that which is essentially me, all that who I am at the very core of my being, you get me. You understand me. And that when we talk and you give me compliments or you talk to me, you're talking to me and I'm heard and I'm understood and you respect me for who I am deep inside. I heard an analogy to that. They were talking about when you're not understood for who you essentially are, it's kind of like getting a bonus at work and being complimented for something you didn't even do. You kind of feel like, well, yeah, I want the money, but I didn't do that. And you know Bill down in the next cubicle actually did that, and he should have got the bonus, and you kind of feel out of place, right? And when the person you love compliments you for something that isn't essentially you, they don't really understand you, do they? So at the very core of love, and in the very core of a relationship, it's very important for you to listen and understand and to know your partner, your friend, the person that you're in this relationship with, and even more so that they understand you and you understand them. And at the core of the relationship, there's communication, knowing who we really are. And Jesus shows up in this like ridiculous time in history when things aren't going well. The people who are supposed to be teaching about who God is and how he's represented and all that he stands for, they don't really understand him, is what it seems like. You've got these Pharisees and Sadducees who are running the temple and still doing all of the rituals and all the things, but the very heart of who God is doesn't seem to be getting across to anybody. In fact, the Pharisees don't seem to understand it either, because they seem to be more interested in the power that they get and controlling who gets to come in and who stays out of the temple. What gender you are, what race you are, because in this era of time, you were in the Jewish eye, you were either Jewish or you were Gentile, and that was it. There's either those who are selected by God or those who are not. In fact, the Romans called the Jews haters of humanity. That was the title the Romans gave the Jews. Haters of humanity. Ouch. And so the very people who are supposed to be the representatives of the relationship that God wanted to have with people aren't doing it. And so betrayal, broken love, hurt, pain. It's bad, isn't it? Excellent. If I only had a flamethrower, it'd be good. There it is. Okay. So enter Jesus, or enter the Messiah. Jesus is here to be the appropriate representative or the right reflected image of God in the world. Right? Daniel. It's my turn to speak, okay, bud? So we come across Matthew. And Matthew, this is in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says this. He says, "You have heard that it was said, you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who harass you, so that you will be acting as children of the Father who is in heaven." So that you will be acting as children of your Father who is in heaven. He makes the sun rise on both the evil and the good, and sends rain to both the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? See, I said there were only two categories, but tax collectors are like, I mean, even if I say to you IRS, you kind of get the feeling, right? Even tax collectors do the same. And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, just as your heavenly Father is complete in showing love to everyone, so also you must be complete. Now, if you're going to understand the Sermon on the Mount, you got to kind of go back to the very beginning of what he sets the tone for his this magnificent speech that he gives on the. They call it Sermon on the Mount, but it was really more like a large hill. So Sermon on the Hill. But at the very beginning, he sets out this tone that the very essence of God is love, right? You cannot skim through the Bible without understanding that God loves you. In fact, the very first, if you ever grew up in church, the very first one you ever learned was, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And it's rooted in his love. In fact, the very essence of God's love is not this like Eros love that we talk about, you know. If you are watching any TV and there's commercials with jewelry on them, that's where love comes from, diamonds. Because every kiss begins with... see, you guys are listening. And they're all out there trying to tell you that love is wrapped up in a gift that you buy at the store with lots of money. And this Eros love, this physical sort of intimacy love, that's not the same category that God's in. There's phileo, the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, phileo. There's five categories, and there's actually seven that categorize the different kinds of love, but God gets his own category, this agape, this all-inclusive. But it's not just all-inclusive. This kind of love is a choice that he's made, that this is the character which I want you to understand me, is that I have chosen to love you unconditionally, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what's going on in your life. God has chosen that this is the very character with which he responds to, with the very character with he acts out in your behalf for. And in fact, the very next verse in John 3:16 is, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And this act that God is doing, which is rooted in his core nature being love, that he has chosen to give all of himself to all of you and to think about all of you all the time, and that he would put himself aside for your benefit, is not what's been represented in the world. So he sent Jesus. And Jesus came into the world. And Jesus comes into the world to represent that there's this merger taking place, or this marriage taking place, or this union that says, if you and I are together, you will take on my character, the very essence of who I am. And the very essence of who Jesus is rooted in that Trinitarian love, isn't it? It's because I love you so much, I will go out of my way for you. I'm thinking of you. We all get love that is rooted in our own selfish interests, right? I love Glenn because he loves numbers and takes care of all the tithes and offerings, and He'll even, you know, when he has a brief moment and looking for a little excitement, he'll go out of his way to make a pie chart of trending tithes and offerings, you know, just in case I needed to know something new. But I love Glenn because he makes those pie charts for me. Or I love my wife. Don't get me wrong. I am madly in love with my wife. But I love her because of what I get out of the relationship, right? I mean, I put money in the account and she sends all the checks out that need to be sent out and I don't have to worry about it. I love that about our relationship. But if that's the essence of the relationship, what I get out of it, is all the praise I get. And that's what he's talking about in the middle. You know, if you do these things to get what you're getting, you get what you get. There isn't more blessing from God. And like the tax collector, you know, the tax collector normally was a Jewish young man who went and paid money to the Roman government so he could represent the Roman government to take the tax money from the Jews. And the Roman government would say to this young man, or whoever it is, we need $5 a head. You charge what you need to do for your time and effort. And so he would charge everybody $10 a head. And he would get wealthy on it, which is why he was on cockroach level of...
The naughty list.
Yes, he was definitely on the naughty list. And, of course, you don't make great friends being a tax collector. Anybody here have a tax collector who's a good friend of theirs? One. See, that's kind of how it worked. You make friends with the other tax collectors because they were stealing money too. So, you know, just all of us who are in this together, oh, you did pretty well this year, Zacchaeus. Good on ya. And the people that would meet at Zacchaeus' house were other tax collectors, really. And when Jesus showed up and says, I'm going to come and visit with you, he's visiting with him for the very express purpose of showing his love, that unconditional love. In fact, everybody else around is like, why in the world would you go to his house? See, the very thing that makes Jesus so unique, the very thing that is so interesting about Jesus and what he represented was this unconditional love and this amazing way that he could look right into the heart of men and women and children and see them for who they really are. He would meet this Samaritan woman at the well. It was the wrong time. She was a Samaritan. He was a Jew. It was not okay for them to be meeting. And she would talk to Jesus about all the things that were going on in her life, but he was more concerned about her heart and who she was and how she was hurting. See, Jesus, Scripture tells us that he sees the very heart of man, right? You ever said something and been misunderstood? That's not what I meant by that. You ever say something in an encounter where you have secrets that are deep inside of you that you're not, you don't share that with everybody, but somehow this Jesus knows those secrets and he wants to talk to you about who you really are? See, the woman at the well, it shifted from how many men she's been with and why she's out there in the middle of the day to truly worshiping out of her heart. And what Jesus saw in her was she was this woman who wasn't even allowed to worship God wherever she went because of her circumstances of life. And Jesus says, true worship happens in the heart. And that's exactly where I want to meet you, he says. And the more and more you would travel through, we come across this thing where Jesus is preaching to a great crowd and he's speaking deep into their hearts, and then it's time for him to go, and he travels across the Sea of Galilee, magically just appears in the middle and off. You know, I think he had a transporter or something in his pocket. But when they get to the other side, this story is labeled the Gerasene demoniac, or there's a demon-possessed man that's there in the graveyard. And what we discover about this man is that Jesus sees that he's the scapegoat for the entire town. The entire town places all their hurts, all their pains, all their blame on this guy, and he's there naked and in chains, screaming and shouting and get away and go away. But Jesus sees him for who he is and heals him. You see, the very thing that love is supposed to do is look into our hearts and look into the very core of who we are, look into the very essence of who we are. And if you are in a relationship with anybody, and if you don't see them for who they really are, the relationship doesn't seem to last very long, does it? Or if you're in a relationship with somebody and you're in the relationship so that you can get out of it what you think your value is worth, it won't last very long. But if you're in a relationship and you're gonna act and react in this relationship like God does, out of a sacrificial love, an all-encompassing love, that agape sort of love that says, you are the most important thing to me, and what's going on in your life is what I want to meet you at. Who you essentially are, all your gifts, all your talents, all the things that you could do right, and I'm not so worried about what you're doing wrong. I want to see you for who you really are, and I want to meet you right there. That's what Jesus does. And we have this passage in Romans, and I kind of loaded it up. It's thick, so if your eyes are squinting, like mine are, we'll get through it. I'm sorry. While we were still weak, at the right moment, Christ died for ungodly people. It isn't often that someone will die for a righteous person, though maybe someone might dare for a good man, but God shows his love for us because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, so that we have been made righteous by his blood. We can be even more certain that we will be saved from God's wrath through him. If we were reconciled to God through the death of his son while we were still his enemies, he's doing this for us. Now that we have been reconciled, how much more certain is it that we will be saved by his life? And not only that, we even take pride in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that one through whom we now have restored relationship with God. It's because Christ came and he merged with us while we were still sinners, while we were enemies of God, while we didn't deserve to be connected with God, because we were so selfish and we were only interested in our own gain and what we can get out of it and the power that we can get by holding it over others and all that. That's the very act of that kind of love is an enemy to God's kind of love. And Jesus comes and says, I'm here to merge with you, to connect with you, so that my very spirit and your very spirit start to match. So that the very love that's in my heart, that yearns for you, that cries out for you, that reaches for you, even when you're not worthy, is the kind of love that wins and takes over. And when you experience that unrelenting love, that love that just that accepts you for who you really are, that's the same kind of love that produces joy and peace and hope in others. And that's what he calls us to do. He calls out to us, join with me, merge with me, and love like I love. a sacrificial love, a love that goes out of its way to find you in the deepest, darkest depths of life. I've been selfish. You know, I'm perfect now, but and in that moment that I can think of when I've been betrayed by somebody I love dearly, that's the hardest to return that love that is selfless. That's when you get defensive, and that's when you start putting up walls that keep you from the hurt. But the love that Christ shows is doesn't put up walls, but tears down walls and reaches into the ugly, reaches into the pain, and just gives more love. I'm going to challenge you. I want you to think about the relationships in your life. And I don't know all your different relationships. But is there a broken one?
Nope.
Is there a relationship that damaged you? Something that is causing you friction between somebody who was a close friend? Or a son, or a daughter, or a sibling? Or co-worker. And here's the challenge. With that broken relationship in mind, it may be time to ask the Lord, Jesus, begin to repair in me and grant me a new heart that sees the very heart of the other. Jesus, remove from me pride and prejudice and grant me humility and not my way but thine. Just like when Jesus was in the garden, not my will but thine be done, O Lord. And Lord, grant me eyes to begin to see this relationship in a new way that can be repaired and restored, and renew. And Lord, grant me the ability to give sacrificial love. Not for what I want out of it, but for what is right in restoring and being complete in Christ. Boy, that doesn't sound like a fun challenge at all, does it? But you see, This whole idea of better is one day in your court than thousands elsewhere. Better is the right relationship of love that sees us for who we really are and grants us the ability to see others for who they really are and a bonding on a mutual respect is right and good. And in the spirit of what God has created us to be. And John says this is the basis for judgment. The light came into the world, and people love darkness more than the light, for their actions are evil, and all who do wicked things hate the light and do not come to the light for fear that their actions will be exposed to the light. Whoever does the truth comes to the light so that it can be seen that their actions were done in God. See, the essence of what Pastor John is trying to teach us here, and he plays on that theme of light and darkness all throughout his Scripture. Even starts off, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And he goes into this theme about light and darkness and how darkness couldn't see itself. And he's doing that again here. You see, when we, when our hearts are surrounded by the selfish desires to only serve the self, we're in the darkness. And what Jesus has come to do is to bring us into the light and expose our selfishness so we could see our ugliness for ourselves, but we could also see the beauty that the light brings, the beauty of the right love, the beauty of a mutual respect and love, the beauty that God's love can grant to each and every one of us. And today, as we have these four candles, all of these exterior hope, joy, peace, love, they're really all centered in Christ. And so today we light the Christ candle, for he is our hope, for he is our joy. He is the one that brings us true peace, and it is rooted in the very essence of who he is, pure love, true love, righteous love. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Listen, if you would stand together with me and receive the priestly blessing, and then you can go and spend Christmas Eve with your family and friends, eat together, love on one another with the love of Christ in our hearts. So listen, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may he be ever gracious unto you and cause his face to shine towards you, and that every countenance, every thought of his is towards you. And may he give you peace, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thanks for joining us today. We would love to continue the conversation and connect with you. Comment, like, subscribe, follow us on the socials at RNAS Church or our website, rnaz.church.